This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It was obvious to me from the first day that I met CM Punk, this was the guy. It was obvious this was the guy.
The chance I got to work with Paul Heyman was amazing. He saw me for exactly what I am.
He was willing to fight to the death for what he believes in. And that's what it takes to be a WWE champion. I respect him.
I owe my career to Paul Heyman, 100%.
I view myself as a better person because of his acceptance of me as a friend.
CM Punk is in prime position to win this matchup.
Do you see anyone else around? Is there anybody that can stop him?
The top of the ladder.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode 3 of PTBN Pedestal. I am your host for this edition, Matt Souza, and thank you all for joining me on this journey to determine what matches belong on the wrestling pedestal, according to some of the finest members of the Place to Be Nation staff. Of course, I cannot and will not do this alone, so let's bring in the panel. Ben Locke. Ben, hello.
Good evening, Matt. Good evening, everybody. It's nice to hear everybody in crystal clear clarity for once.
Ben, it's about time you joined 2021 and got some high def audio. Much appreciated.
It's only took me 2 years. You know, we'll get electricity and running water next. It's going to be a wonderful thing.
You know, you probably should have started with the plumbing. That's just me. But anyway, thank you for joining us here this evening.
It's what the wife always tells me. Always a pleasure, Matt.
Next, you've already heard him laugh at our banter, Logan Crosland. Hello, Logan.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing just peachy. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing all right, except I have to watch this first fucking match, so we'll see how long that lasts.
Oh, dear. We're starting early. Oh, boy. This could be quite a contentious episode of...
Fair and balanced right here. That's me.
Fair and balanced, Crosland. That's what they call you. And rounding out the dais is Tim Capel. Tim, hello.
So I have to put this up as a disclaimer, as I very often do on wrestling podcasts. Let's hope this goes better than the last time I did a Wrestling Ultimate Decider podcast, where we really settled a lot of debate, didn't we, guys? Most of you were also part of the great WrestleMania debate, which concluded in grand fashion.
I remember 19. That's all I remember.
Thanks for inviting me into the rotation here. Pleased to be a part of that. And as I said, we'll try to get some answers this time.
Mm-hmm. Part three of the WrestleMania debate is coming at a time and date to be determined.
Yes, and that time and date is somewhere in the never region. Look, we tried to make it happen. There was forces beyond our control that put that to an end. But anyway.
Why would you threaten the listeners that way?
Yeah, really?
I believe that's what you call alcohol.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, the match we will be discussing here this evening is a match that I believe some of us on the panel, myself included, we feel is kind of overrated, which does not mean bad. I want to specify. Mm-hmm. For me, it does not mean bad. I just think that it's not as good, at least I thought. I'm going into this thinking that this match is not as good as the vast majority thinks. We'll see. Maybe my mind will change. But we are going to go back to SummerSlam 2013 and to the match between The Best versus The Beast, Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. So very excited to be doing this match. It's a match that really a lot of people think very highly of. I'm curious to see if this will change my mind or anybody else's mind on this call who thinks like me and thinks it's, you know, kind of overrated and maybe not as good of a match as, you know, history may speak to it to be. So we'll see what happens with that. But let's dive briefly into the build before we watch the match here. Fairly basic, but I think it worked well enough for what they were trying to do, because it's a match, you know, Brock and Punk, it's a match that really sells itself and the build isn't really necessary. Like, I feel like when Brock came back in 2012, one of the first matches that was really mentioned as, ooh, we want to see Brock fight this guy, is Punk. So it's kind of like, I don't want to say a dream match, but it's like, it's one of those matches you definitely wanted to see. And the build was basic, where, you know, it had the turn with Heyman, the Heyman turn, which was interesting. He turns on him at Money in the Bank, I believe is when it was. And because they were both Heyman guys. So interesting that they use Heyman as like a wrinkle into this storyline. So like, I'm glad they did something with it. And I think, you know, a Heyman turn was probably the best way to get to that point. And Punk was just coming off of a heel run. Coming off of WrestleMania, where he had the heel run in the match in the buildup with Taker, so like a heel turn, a face turn for Punk was definitely necessary, I think, at this point, and I think it was a good way they did it with Heyman turning. So, with all that being said, let me go to Logan first. Logan, what did you think of the build to this, and give me your rating on it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the build was pretty strong. Punk after WrestleMania. Didn't come back until Payback. He had a match with Jericho. He came back and returned there. And then the night after, Lesnar comes out and kind of attacks him after he has a match with Alberto. I believe he had a world heavyweight title shot and won by like count out, so he didn't win the title. But you know, Brock comes out and kind of beats him up, throws him around. And then they kind of play the, you know, Punk wants to be best friends with Heyman from there. And even though Punk kind of wanted to be his manager and he wanted to keep him as a client and kind of tell him what to do and kind of guide him, Punk was kind of pushing back. He was like, just let me do it on my own. We can be best friends. We can hang around in the backstage. And, you know, they kind of showed some rifts in their relationship leading up to Money in the Bank. And then Money in the Bank, he finally freaking bashes him with the ladder, which is one of the more brutal spots in that match, because he just kind of throws the ladder at him two or three times and really lays it in stiff. And he ends up actually bleeding pretty good and getting a bunch of staples put in his head from having a big cut. But from there, Punk and Heyman just go back and forth on the mic on SmackDown, on Raw. Just every week they're going back and forth at each other, and it's some great stuff. You know, Heyman's one of the best on the mic of all time, and Punk's up there as well. So yeah, just the back and forth. If Lesnar comes in here and there and attacks him, and even the week before this, Punk gets a little bit of he gets him with a chair and kind of weakens him a little bit, so it shows that Punk might stand a chance. If he can kind of, you know, pull some underhanded tactics. But I feel like if it was more Lesnar driven, it's kind of a Heyman-Punk feud more than it is Lesnar and Punk. So I think if it was more that, it probably would be close to 5 stars, because it's really good. The promos are really good. The attacks are really good. But I'll probably go like 4 on it, just because I feel like Lesnar is in the match. So it probably should have been a little more driven towards him. But it was really strong for sure.
Right. And, you know, you just mentioned it. I that's part of it, too, is Heyman almost feels kind of like a paid assassin for Brock Lesnar feels like a paid assassin for Heyman. Easy for me to say. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And I partially agree with that. But Ben, give me your thoughts on the build and give me what you're rating it as.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're both saying, because to me, watching it back, it definitely felt more of a Punk Heyman feud, just with Brock to the side, and that wasn't a bad thing. But it's kind of like when you're playing the big boss in a video game, and he's got this trump card that he can play on you all, and that just happens to be Brock Lesnar. You know, there's a segment on one of the Raws where Punk's basically attacking Lesnar with a chair. Sees Heyman, forgets about Brock, ignores Brock, and that's when Brock then gets to attack Punk, because all his attention is just on Heyman. It's a very basic build, but that's not a bad thing, you know. You just tell the story what needs to be told. It's two best friends. One wants to go and do things on his own and wants to, you know, doesn't want the other guy to worry, and then, you know, Paul Heyman basically feels that Punk has just turned on him and is ignoring him and is resenting him, and that's when he brings Brock in and goes, oh, by the way, I've got this guy who can kick your ass. I'm going to go a little higher than Logan. I'm going to go 4.25 on the build, because, like you say, hey, could you do it without Lesnar? Yes and no, because it is predominantly a Punk Heyman feud, but you need Brock there to carry the load in the matches. So it's 4.25 for the belt for me.
All right. 4.25 from the Across the Pond contingent. Tim, what do you think about the build, and give me your rating?
Okay. So here's where I have to confess. I was not watching the product at the time, so I didn't see any of this build on the weekly shows. Although I did see the match itself. This just came at a time period where my interest in WWE, just that very pre-network time period of about, I'd say, a 4-year span, was like pretty much all-time low. And I, you know, did not go back and rewatch this program, essentially, in anticipation for the podcast, which I didn't really plan to be honest with you, only because I feel like this particular category of build, while it is valuable in terms of providing context, I sort of feel like the matches that we talk about need to be able to stand on their own and be great in a vacuum if they're really and truly going to make the cut. So I think when you're watching a match and you feel like it's on the cusp of greatness and you're sort of on the line and you're like, oh, I want to give it 5 stars, but I'm not sure I really can. That's where something like build really can give it the edge. Or if it had a really spectacular build and it's just a perfect package all around, you can say, yep, you know what, this is a 5-star match. And on the basis of how strongly it was built, I have to go all the way with it. And by the same token, if you're, again, sort of waffling and considering, this didn't have the best feud, the best build behind it, that's going to drag it down and keep me from that 5-star rating potentially. So I sort of use this as a bit of a pivot category to give some insight into my approach when it comes to how I'm going to evaluate the matches that we look at for this podcast, which I certainly won't be on every episode, but this is my first episode, and that's going to be my attitude when I am on this show. So having said that, I just look at this as the WWE doing big match storytelling, because they trot this out from time to time where it's not so much going to be an ongoing feud where they're going to have the first match, one guy wins, second match, next guy wins, third match, rubber match, right? They're not going to do that. This is, you get one shot. It's sort of built as a big marquee dream match. So if we blow it, we're really not going to try to do it again. You know, we've got to get it right. We've got to hit all the points right out of the gate. And so there's a formula to that type of approach that this company takes. And when it's done well, it tends to be done really well, I find. When they're firing on all cylinders, it's like they know what they're doing. And that's why that formula is the formula. So by that standard, I kind of felt like the video package going into this match here at SummerSlam is really well done, really well produced, tells you everything you really need to know, even if you haven't been watching the weekly shows, and is pretty much as good as anything they've ever done when it comes to those types of recap packages. Helped tremendously, of course, by the fact that you've got two of the best talkers in the business in the form of Punk and Paul Heyman. Yes, I can see the argument that Brock is kind of a hired gun for Heyman, and sort of the feud is really between Punk and Heyman. But that's okay. I think that does kind of work. Brock is still pretty fresh off his return. I mean, yes, he's a year in now, but it's not like he's had a ton of matches. And it's not like he has a ton of depth on his own, really. We know what Brock Lesnar, the character, is. We know what he can do in ring. So, yeah, have Heyman do the heavy lifting on Mike, especially against a guy like Punk. So all that said, I think I'm just going to sort of agree with the consensus here and say, yeah, it seems like a 4-star build to me, without giving it the most informed personal opinion of my own.
Right. And that's a good point you brought up, too, because I kind of feel the same way about some of these matches. It's like, if a good match is a good match, like, it really shouldn't matter what the build is, but like the build kind of takes a step back, and then the build could be what brings that match up to like a 5-star classic. So I definitely get where you are coming from. So with all that, that averages out the build to a 4. So we are 1/3 of the way to this match, potentially reaching pedestal status. But you see, we have to do the watching of the match, which is the next thing that we are going to do here. So if you wish to watch this match along with us, we are, of course, watching it on the cock. So SummerSlam 2013, we are all paused at the 1 hour, 16 minute and 35 second mark. just before the entrances for this match, after the video package before the entrances. So if everybody is ready, we will hit play on the count of three. Is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. In three, two, one. So SummerSlam still at Staples at this point, or was this Brooklyn already by now? I can't remember.
No, this is Staples.
This is still Staples? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what I will say straight away is Michael Cole uses a phrase that one of his absolute worst phrases that he uses, but in this case, it describes it to a T when he calls it the big fight feel.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say vintage Brock Lesnar.
I hate it when he uses it for saying. I think when he says he uses it for Sheamus versus Alberto Del Rio, but in this case, it works and it works perfectly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's big match storytelling for WWE, something mm-hmm. they were certainly still very good at in 2013 and still good at today when they want to be.
Right. And this was a big fucking deal at the time. This whole show really was between this and then Cena and Bryan, which may be a future match on Pedestal because I fucking love that match and I may pick it the next time I host it. But
yeah, I feel like my struggles with this match are almost purely based on the fact that that match is later on in the show, and I love that match. So
I do,
and I also kind of. Low-key really hated both of these guys at the time, so that also doesn't either. And I still kind of low-key hate both of them still, so...
So yes, we should probably mention myself, Logan, and Tim, but we feel this match is rather overrated compared to what other people think.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. I would say I think this is actually a pretty good panel, because we've got sort of your truthers at either extreme, I think, and Logan and Ben. And Matt, I think you and I are sort of in the middle in that.
Yeah.
I've never thought this was the greatest. I never thought this was like a five-star match,
for example.
And I know there are people who will argue that. But I also like it quite a lot. I always have. But I would be in the camp of thinking a skosh overrated, but I'm not really sure what the like overall consensus is. That's just sort of within the circle of people I talk to, you know, because I've never been a big Punk guy. I think he's perfectly fine. He would never be like one of my all time favorites or anything.
Right.
And Brock, I like, maybe a little bit more than Punk, but that's just more of I just see him as like a big star, right? He's got a lot of star power. He has that aura to him, and he pretty much always brings it in his matches. I feel like even some of the lazy Suplex City stuff. Yeah. I hear the criticisms, but it's rare that I'm out and out disappointed in a Brock match. So on that basis, I look at this, not as like a dream match where it's like, oh, two of my favorite guys. I've been waiting my whole life to see it. It's more just a collision of two guys who feel like two really big stars, at least for the time period.
Mm-hmm.
And on that basis, I'm like, yeah, I can see they've got every reason in the world to run it. But does it really do anything for me as a fan? Like, I'm glad it exists, but, you know, they're not really ringing my bells.
Right.
I'm glad. Oh, go ahead, Ben.
No, go on, Mike. Go first.
I'm glad Punk shaved his, trimmed up his mutton chops, because they were
the Wolverine mutton chops.
This is definitely Punk at his mangiest, so he definitely kind of looks like
yeah,
like
he looks kind of rough here.
But go ahead.
See, I'm at the opposite of Tim. Like you said, these are two of my. This is weird. These are two of my favorite guys, but this probably isn't a dream match for me, only because I wasn't really watching much at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I was watching like, you know, show to show, week to week, then yes, I would be like, but I do remember distinctly getting ordering SummerSlam and being so excited for this and the Cena Bryan match.
Right.
fucking Heyman with his faces.
Oh, yeah. They're great. There. Yeah.
Smarmy that, punk.
That friggin' ponytail, too. It's a tragedy. Good lord.
So we're seeing Brock really take it to Punk in the early going here. And this, we should keep in mind, is pre-Suplex City.
Yes.
Brock. He had done the return match with Cena, which controversially he lost. And he'd done that sort of wasted program with Triple H.
Oh, I'll have thoughts on that later. Don't you worry.
Yeah. I mean, had he, gosh, were those his only opponents at this point in the
return? Yeah, that's all he faced.
Yep.
Okay.
I think he faces like Big Show at the Rumble the next year, but I don't think.
Yeah, that was 14. That was in the run up to Taker.
But already here you're getting the story and the narrative of the match of the, you know, power versus speed and the strikes as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Tim, you touched on a good point earlier. I feel like when Brock's motivated, his matches can be really, really good. Like he can really pull out all the stops and have a really good match. But when he's kind of unmotivated and just kind of throws a bunch of suplexes, they can be like really, really bad.
Well, like, listen, I was going to leave it,
a similar point when we got to the historical bit, but this, from this match to say Survivor Series 2016, this 3-year run that Brock's on, where he is fully motivated, facing opponents he wants to face. Basically, not facing Triple H.
Sure.
That's the thing with Brock, is the match is going to go the way Brock wants it to go. Like, if he doesn't give a single fuck, like, it's going to be a dog. Dean Ambrose. Or, you know, something.
Oh, God, that match. Oh,
something like God. This, you know? Or the Cena match.
You could tell already in the early going, like, this is a match that these two personally have put together with Heyman. And it's almost like as if, like, they don't need an agent to tell them what to do.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure, like, day of, they made this a no DQ match. Like, I don't think it had been announced until the day of.
I was wondering that.
They made it, they made it no DQ on the pre-show, I think.
Mm.
So. Yeah.
That's I mean, right. this had to be no DQ. I mean, you could not do this match.
Going back to what we were talking about earlier, I honestly put this at number 8 of my WWE poll, but I had Brian Cena at 21. So I personally love both matches. It's just I like this one just a little bit more, and I think it is just because I prefer the two guys to Cena and Brian. I think that's all it is, if I'm being honest.
I mean, the bottom line is it all comes down to personal preference. Like,
well, at least you're honest about that. Yeah.
See, had I done that list, I might flip the numbers, you know?
I think I kind of had them flipped, to be honest with you. I definitely had this match rated, but I know that the main event of this show, I had, like, that's a solid 5-star match to me.
And 100%.
Without a doubt. I had that pretty darn high, but I don't know where it. I should double check where this landed. I know I ranked it.
See, and that goes, and that segment, that sequence there just goes right back to the build. He had Lesnar where he wanted him, takes it, puts him, you know, turns his attention to Heyman, and hey presto.
Right. Yep.
And that's like what I was attempting to say earlier when I butchered the line that Brock is Heyman's paid assassin.
Jesus Christ. What a joke.
Good lord.
Yeah, great bump over this. Announce tables there. We're getting some Brock Lesnar purple in here. He's sweating profusely and starting to go through the color change.
Is this the debut of Brock Lesnar red face?
It might be.
He probably turned pretty purple in
this might also be the debut of Punk needing a Z-Pack too. Good Christ.
And the other thing I'll say before we get really into it is whoever came up with that strap line of the best versus the beast, like they should just get all the money just for that.
Well, unfortunately, they've been released due to budget cuts, so
No, they've been devoted down to NXT 2.0.
Oh, God, even worse.
Have they had an exchange, though?
Oh, Lord. First 2 weeks
of the night already.
They're going to wrestle Brack Benjamin at the next TakeOver or whatever they're calling it.
I believe that's Benjamin Bracker, actually.
Oh, excuse me. Punk is getting the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, that stomp is
taking a good chick.
Wild move.
Good lord.
And that's the other. That's another great thing about this is like, well, how much of this is actually selling?
Right, yeah. Right, ooh. Exactly. It's like the Cena match when they were both bleeding their buckets out. Like, yeah, I don't know what's selling, but probably not much of it. Oh God, that right hand! Mm.
Jesus.
Side note: that Cena match is also one of my favorites too. I love.
Yeah,
that Cena
I like
match.
That. I love that match.
So good.
I do think this match comes at a good time in Brock's return, where, again, pre-Suplex City, he's not the invincible monster that we will think of him as, you know, after that Cena match, you know, just a year later at this same show. You know, he's still Brock Lesnar. It's just he's early enough in his return. You don't know quite what to expect from him. He's such a wild card.
Yep.
And so, like, you can have a pretty believable match between these two in the way that I think that would be maybe clouded in later years. Like, if you tried to do a Punk-Lesnar match in, like, I don't know, 2015, in a hypothetical world where Punk is still around.
Right.
You feel like you're going to get, well, there's the Brock-Lesnar match, and we'll see how CM Punk just sort of plugs into that. Whereas... Right. As you guys were saying earlier, this does feel like more of perhaps a collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it would have been worse, you know, in later years. It's just I think this was the right approach to do it early on. Plus, Punk's not going to be around much longer. Not that anyone knows that yet. But they had, you know, they got it in pretty much when they had to.
Right.
Yep.
That's the thing. Like, can you imagine, like, if they never did this match?
If they waited. Yeah.
If they had waited, you know, a couple extra months, and then all of a sudden he leaves in January, and it's like, well, shit.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that Lesnar kind of ended up wrestling all of kind of the indie darlings of the early 2000s. You know, he faces Styles eventually, and Bryan, and here he faces Punk. So it's kind of... Mm-hmm. And even Joe, if you want to say Joe, he faces him in that one match. So, I mean... It's kind of wild
to think Brian A. To think Brock AJ was almost Brock Mahal. Good Christ!
Yeah, but their styles, not Mahal, obviously, but their styles all mesh so perfectly with Brock in terms of they can all be ragdolls and they can throw Brock around quite easily as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made, if you remember last year or the year before, that match in Saudi Arabia when they did Brock Lesnar and Ricochet. That's what made that so disappointing, because that could have been really fucking fun. Instead, it was a minute and a half, you know?
Yeah.
But look at this again. Punk would just these elbow strikes to get out.
They are stiffing the shit out of each other.
Yeah, and so finally, Punk is having some success here. It's like he's employed a few different strategies. He's done the quickness, the skill. He's tried to match blows with Lesnar. None of it's worked so far. Now we see him more on defense, and he was making a bit of progress, but that's just what he brought.
Not so much.
CM Wolverine just got thrown across the fucking ring.
That's kind of like, what else can he do?
I always like Brock's facial expression when he just starts laughing or grinning. Like what he's just done.
I mean, it's been a brutal match, but it's also kind of been like relatively tame for no DQ, I feel. Like there hasn't been a lot of like weapons, at least yet. Like they used the steps for a minute, and then they threw Punk like over the announce table. That was kind of it. So kind of interesting that they're using more no DQ step more as like a just beat the piss out of each other, more so than like a crazy weapons brawl.
Yeah.
Good kind lord, okay, that's suplex.
God bless. That was disgusting.
That look on the basis that look of Brock's giving him as well.
Yeah, yeah. You think about what did they in kayfabe terms? What did they actually prepare for here? How did they? What was their approach? Their strategy going into this match? They weren't expecting a no DQ match, so it's like why deviate from your game plan if that wasn't known going into the match itself. I can be kind of forgiving of that.
It must have been a really hot night in LA because they are both exceptionally sweaty. They got like the Arn Anderson sweat going on.
Yeah.
So the aircon's not working.
Jesus.
Oof. Yeah, they're sweating all over the Bitcoin Center or whatever the fuck it's called now.
The Bitcoin Center. The Dogecoin Pavilion. The blockchain.
I cannot believe they renamed blockchain it. Arena. I guess.
The blockchain arena. The tech sportatorium.
I will say this, watching it now, just the sheer lack of wrestling hold, just been all punches and strikes and kicks.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you had a bear hug earlier, but it was like...
I think that's just because Lesnar needed to come down from being purple. For
yeah, it's not the most technical.
But even that makes sense.
It's punches and kicks. Strong kid's going to go 2.5.
Yeah, well, he's not here.
I can't behave, yeah. Give me some of that Houston wrestling, goddammit.
You know, I was half kidding when I said the thing about the Punk Z-Pack, but he does have a cut on his back. I half wonder.
Yeah, I think that might be the one that it goes untreated or poorly treated, at least.
Jesus. I do apologize for making that tasteless joke.
Well,
you bastard.
I think it's a little higher up than he said that the.
Yeah.
The.
Oh, what a kick that
was. I think he said
it was
like
more than one, like, one time that happened, though, but this might not be the major time that it happened.
I feel like, wasn't it the Ryback? Didn't he have the TLC match with Ryback, and that was the one that really fucked him up, too?
Yeah.
I think it was a Hell in a Cell, but yeah.
Yeah.
That was a shitty, shitty elbow
drop. It sure was.
Yeah, that was a good camera cut there to hide it.
I ain't ever thrown an elbow like that, yeah.
He'd have fired my ass on the spot, yeah.
Yeah, as good as the kick was, the elbow
twice. Replay it.
That
very
was more
good.
Like a splash.
Jeez.
That was an Uso splash, Ben. You're going to have to knock it down a couple of points.
That was horrendous.
Absolutely horrendous.
Hey, I don't mind the Usos. They just, all their matches just blend into one for me. I'm sorry.
I know. I kind of agree with that. My friend.
Note to self, pick an Usos match and have Ben on it.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean... They've had a great match, like, probably 50 times.
Yeah.
Pick the SummerSlam pre-show match, whichever year that was. 16, 17, one of the two.
The Hell in a Cell with New Day. I mean...
The Hell in a Cell with New Day is amazing. I love that match.
Oh, well, there you go.
But that's the one that comes straight to mind. Kimura on here. We'll try to get the Kimura on.
I know the pre-show match that they have at the SummerSlam is considered one of their best.
Mm. The SummerSlam, did you do that on purpose?
All right, Brad.
SummerSlam.
No, I was trying to say the SummerSlam match. Oh. I was more talking about the match, not the event.
You had a Hardian slip there.
I also thought it was very exciting that on the episode of 90210 I watched for the 90210 pod, that there was a bitch named Julie. I thought that was hilarious.
How fitting.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Is this before or after Taker started using the triangle?
Well, far after, yes.
Yeah, he started using it like, God, 05, 06. It was right around that angle match.
Yeah. Of course he did. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were being serious.
No, I was being serious, but then you just reminded me of that. I was like, of course, it was like the end to the angle match. Yeah.
I see. Hell's Gate. He lost the title because of it.
I was going to say, don't you mean Hell's Gate? Hell's Gate? Hell's Gate? Hell's Gate? Hell's Gate?
All right, Cole.
It is a decent looking triangle, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I feel like it was at first. It's pretty loose now, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
This is going to end poorly.
Sure
oh,
is.
Oh, God. Maybe not. I didn't know those elbows are pretty purple.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez.
You know what Heyman's this is like... kind of reminding me of a little bit? It's kind of like Vader Sting, some of those matches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the way they're doing it.
Big man, little man type of stuff.
Sorry, Logan, this is still great.
Sure it is. I'm just kidding.
I think Logan's up to about a 2.5 right now.
No, I'll take that.
I give it a lot harder of a time than I actually am probably going to end up grading it, but it just, you know, like I said, it falls in the same show as probably one of my favorite matches ever,
right?
With the main event. And then, yeah, just in hindsight, I really just don't like either of these guys deep down.
Yeah,
that kind of hurts.
That's a fair enough, because I'm the opposite way. So that's an absolute fair comment.
Right.
Because I was a mark in 2014, and Punk leaving pissed me off. So I've gotten over it at this point. But
Jesus Christ, these rolling suplexes!
Brock's version of Three Amigos, absolutely vicious.
Good God!
I'm sure that's his tribute to Eddie Guerrero.
Punk's tribute is going to be a shitty frog splash.
That's what Punk was going for earlier.
That's what it looked like. Boy, Brock is unspeakably sweaty. His face, disgusting. His face is puffy. This is, my God.
I think we're about to get the new DQ push this match.
That's what he gets for eating nuts and gum as part of his diet.
Here comes a no DQ section, Matt, just for your entertainment.
Sable's cooking just tore his insides up. That was his problem.
It'll happen. Yeah. It's all that Minnesota venison he eats out there in that fucking log cabin. Wherever the hell he lives. Is it Minnesota? I don't even know anymore.
I think it's South Dakota, actually.
One of those, Dakota, Idaho, one of those.
One of those icy fucking places. Uh-oh, here we go.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
That will ruin your weekend.
Ruin more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Punk had a ribcage?
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Is that... I mean, just think about it. Is that like a dating situation you'd want to witness? Sable and Brock's first date?
Nope. Oh, Jesus. I'm good. Mm.
I think we've discussed their animalistic sex at certain points.
I was going to say, it's just like a lion pawing at a piece of deer that he found in the fucking fucking forest somewhere out there in the desert or wherever. Jungle. That's the word I'm looking for. Jungle.
Yeah, Sahara.
Sahara.
Or
one
Savannah,
of those.
I mean. Savannah.
Whatever. one of those places where animals live.
Uh-oh.
Who was it that said they knew someone who dated Brock Lesnar pre-Sable and was like trying to fuck a doorstop on a concrete?
I'm pretty sure Terry Runnels said that, but I don't know who she said it
yeah,
about.
I know what you're talking about. It might have been her.
Like, I think somebody told her that. I don't think she... Mm-hmm. I mean, she said it looked tiny and red, I think. I think she saw it at one point, but like...
Right.
Yeah. Matches she said somebody description else of the rest of his body.
Fucking a doorstop or something like that.
A red doorstop on a brick wall.
Yep.
Some people are just hung like a door switch. What can I say? Like a light switch. I mean...
I was in. You could be like Dolph Ziggler and Amy Schumer, and she described him as too athletic, except
too athletic.
Oh, this will probably be bad.
Yeah, this is gonna end
well. Poorly.
Oh Jesus! Well, that was a better looking elbow drop than the other one.
Yeah, redeemed it.
All right, you redeemed yourself, yeah. Yeah. Imagine keeping a ponytail until 2013.
I know. Imagine being a bald man with a ponytail.
My lord.
I think whenever he got rid of it, I didn't even realize he got rid of it for a long, long time, too. Then I finally looked back there one day, and I was like, oh, he
I looked back there one day.
One day, I mean,
it was already too long when he still had the damn thing when he was in rollerball. So,
oh wow,
I think about that now way more than I should have. But anyway,
now Punk here we go. Yeah, once the chair came into play.
See, once again,
Heyman gets involved, Punk gets distracted, and then you know, the plan goes to pot.
Newsflash, Heyman is great at what he does.
He is.
Headline reads.
I would have imagined as Paul Heyman is a clip-on tie kind of guy.
Relatable.
I like that cell on the go to sleep by
Rock. Yeah, that was good.
Straight into the pin as well, and obviously it was Heyman interfering that means it's gonna take place.
Heyman's so fucking good.
And now Brock's down long enough, Punk's got a chance to get him.
I don't think Punk is selling. I think he really is limping.
He's definitely
beat up.
Well, that was tremendous as well.
Crowd on their feet for this, as they should be. There's the vice.
Or a key lock if you're Michael Cole.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Modified key lock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody has. I would dare say nobody has better facials than Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. Are there a few? If there are any better,
right? Mm. Well, there you go. To your point, Ben. Yeah. I'm sure this will work out well for Mr. Punk. Heyman slapping the knee. Oh, that's great.
Get off, you bastard.
Who does he think he is? Orange Cassidy? Come on.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's great.
Oh, he put his finger in his mouth. What a gross asshole.
Ooh.
Oh!
Right. Holy shit.
Now he gets a modified key lock.
Now he's getting some Anaconda Vice.
You know, isn't it insane that they never did a Punk versus Heyman singles match? With how hot this feud was at the time.
I've got a little theory about that.
And Curtis Axel, don't forget that.
Coming up.
Don't forget Curtis Axel.
Yeah. Well, Axel was already kind of involved at this point. He had been involved in this build.
Oh, had he? Oh, all right.
But yeah, he continues to stay a part of it. Yes,
they ended up doing what, like a handicap Hell in a Cell or something?
Just Ryback and Heyman in that match. So,
Jesus, those chair shots were disgusting.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were.
And this F5 is going to be equally as disgusting. Oh my god.
Oh, fucking god.
Jesus H. Christ. Well, that should do it.
Yep. And he might
be dead. It does.
Yeah.
Wow. God, that bump on the chair was nasty.
There's kind of a point coming out of the back of Punk's pants. I think he shit himself.
Well, wouldn't you?
Possibly.
It's because his hip bone is sticking out of his ass from that F5 he just took. My lord.
He did in that one match.
Yeah, that's true.
With Ambrose.
Well, We have now officially done the watching of the match. So now we should go ahead and rate the match. We will start with Ben.
Still not seen anything that takes it down from a 5 for me, Matt.
All right. That is a 5 for Ben. Tim, let's go to you.
Yeah, I definitely don't consider it a 5-star match. I do think it's a very good match. I think it, well, I would call it a great match. The heel face dynamic going in was right on point. I think, you know, Punk did a great job just getting that kind of sympathy heat on himself, like selling for the better part of the first half. And then finally gaining an advantage when the no DQ stip came into play. I do kind of question the wisdom and the no DQ coming last minute, because it really kind of made Punk seem like he had no shot without, you know, resorting to weapons and getting real nasty. But, I don't know, I guess Brock introduced the chair first, so you could say it's, you know, it really started with him. But yeah, kudos on Punk for hanging in there with a monster like this. And I thought they built a really solid, awesome match here, about as good as I think it could have been between these two. So I'm going to go I'll go 4.5 on it.
All right. 4.5 from Tim. Logan, let's get your grade and your thoughts.
Yeah, it's one of those matches that is just never going to connect with me, because just I don't particularly super enjoy Brock's style. I mean, I like watching him chuck people around, but he's just never going to be one of my favorites. He never was. But I'll go with Tim. I'd probably go 4.5 on it. It's definitely not 5 stars, but I enjoyed it watching it here. But I'll always think that the main event of the show is definitely better. But I did enjoy it, and I think they both busted their ass pretty good here.
I will agree with both Tim and Logan. I will also go 4.5 on this. And to be perfectly honest, this was probably the most I have enjoyed watching this match. I mean, granted, I haven't seen it in a very long time, because I remember, you know, thinking it was good but not great. But yeah, I'm going to go 4.5 on this as well. Just the bumps that Punk took were insane. I mean, yeah, it was a no DQ match and they didn't use a ton of weapons, but it didn't necessarily need anything like that. Like, they used the no DQ stip in other ways where, like, yeah, the lack of weapons outside of the chair, like, they weren't missed or anything. So I will also go 4.5 on this. So let's briefly discuss historical significance of this match here. And this is interesting to me because, you know, and Tim, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, where this was a big match for Brock. Look at what he was coming off of. You know, he had the awesome, for me, 5-star match with Cena at Extreme Rules 2012. And then he had those 3 matches with Triple H, where the SummerSlam 2012 match is meh, the WrestleMania match is awful, and they had the cage match, which was decent enough, but still not to the level, and not anywhere close to the level of the Cena match. So, like, this was a big spot for Brock. And, I mean, we all went 4.5 or 5 on it, so it delivered there. And, I mean, despite what some of us may think of it, like, it's considered by a lot of people to be one of the best matches in SummerSlam history. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, looking at it from CM Punk's perspective, you know, as we're recording this, Punk currently in AEW, I don't know, has he had a match as good as this in AEW yet? Like, so I think you could pretty safely argue that this is, it's certainly the last great match in Punk's WWE run. You can make the argument that it's Punk's last great match, period, as we sit here, you know, 7-8 years later. So I think for that, given everything that happened with Punk in the years following that match, I think that counts for something too on historical significance. So let's go around the table here. Tim, give me your thoughts on where you would have this historical wise.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think it's a very significant match in the careers of both Brock and Punk. But when you step outside of that, I mean, how historically significant is any like post Attitude Era wrestling match, honestly, you know, other than something like a Rock Cena that's going to get a lot of, you know, mainstream eyes on it. I don't think that this is the type of match to do that, but you know, for wrestling fans, it's a pretty big deal. I think it'd be, held up, just in terms of like big time, again, marquee matches that delivered, which it's hard to live up to the hype, when you have, again, that kind of great build that we discussed, one shot only, once in a lifetime, as they say.
Literally.
And they really, I think they got it done out there. Again, they could have missed their window. There's a world in which we never got this match, and I think we're, you know, worse off for it. So yeah, it's got the historical significance, but not compared to like a, you know, it's not like a Hogan Andre. Or are we kidding? Right. So on that basis, I guess I would give it, God, this is a tough category to grade. We'll go, how about 3.75? I don't want to give it a 4, but I think it's better than like a 3.5.
Right. All right. Logan, give me your thoughts here for this.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with most of what Tim said. If Punk doesn't leave and doesn't wrestle again for a while after this, I mean, he hangs around till Rumble of the next year, but, you know, he retires and is gone for 7 years. So I think that definitely hurts it. The thing that helps it more than anything is the fact that Brock goes on like probably one of the best runs for like the next 2 or 3 years after this. I mean, he's champion for most of it. He ends the streak. As much as I don't agree with that being the case, it does a lot for him. It makes him the attraction that he is today. You know, he always comes in, has the big match, and then kind of can leave whenever he wants to as champion a lot of the time. So I think without proving that he could have a banger match with a guy like Punk, maybe he doesn't get that opportunity and he doesn't quite go that far. So I think that did a lot for Brock for sure. But like I said, I think it hurts the fact that Punk kind of quits, 6 or 7 months away from this. So, I'm going to go 2.75 because I think it does a lot for Brock, but I think Punk leaving kind of ruins it a little bit. So I'll go a star lower than Tim.
All right, Ben, how about you?
And I was about to give you a load of credit for the star rating for the match, Logan. Okay, so what I will agree with Logan on is this does not do much for CM Punk because, lately, he's out the door 6 or 7 months later. And, you know, obviously, it's not his fault what happened, but, you know, he is out the door. So we you know, what did we lose? We lost so all of Punk's involvement. And like we mentioned during the match, you know, we never got Heyman versus Punk one-on-one in the Hell in a Cell like it should have been. But what I will say, this match, without this match, you do not see what Brock Lesnar does in the next 2-3 years. He does not have the confidence to do what he did in the year in 2014, 2015 without this match in place. Also, without this match, the style of match that these guys have, this brings in that striked-based wrestling style that we still see today. You know, I said it a few times during the match. You know, there's not a lot of wrestling holds in this match because there didn't need to be. You know, many of the matches you see in NXT, you know, those main event matches would not be like they are without this match taking place first. So I'm going to go slightly lower than Tim. I'm going to go 3.5 because, like I say, because I do think the Punk leaving does detract a little bit, but the other two factors make up for that, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I will also go 3.5 for a lot of the same reasons you guys mentioned. And, you know, it's an interesting. You want to do three? All right. No, that's fine. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine.
See, I'm getting talked down to 3.5, I feel like.
Stay where you are. Look, where you are.
We still have time before I do the tallying, so tell me now. But, I'll go 3.5 for a lot of... This is a super tough category for this match.
Yeah,
I'll go 3.5 with Ben for a lot of the same reasons. I mean, and it's a good point you brought up, Ben, that, like, the strike-based offense you really weren't seeing a lot of at this point. And this match is basically all that. So,
and I think that's where its influence is. I don't think its influence particularly on the two guys' career. It's the style of match that came as a result of it.
Right.
Put me down for 3.5. I'm going to... I don't feel comfortable being the high vote on that, just because I honestly don't feel that strongly about it. So I would like to be in line with the consensus here.
All right. So we have the tallies, gentlemen. We have them all calculated. And again, this is assuming that I have, in fact, done the math right, which is assuming a great deal about me. But So for the build ratings, all of our ratings have averaged out to a 4. Our match ratings have averaged out to a 4.5. And our historical significance ratings have averaged out to a 3.5, which gives us a grand total of 4 right on the schnoz, making this match worthy of the PTBN pedestal. So Brock
just
Lesnar
made it. Just made it.
Just made it.
Wow.
Damn.
Okay.
Damn it, Logan. Damn it, Logan.
Damn it, Logan.
Logan, your kindness and your change of heart just ruined everything.
See, Logan, had you gone 2... So, Brock Lesnar.
I will say I do think that's fitting with 4 being our cutoff. This just making the cut does seem right to me.
I'd agree with that.
I would not argue stringently for it to go higher, but to just get in the door, I'm like, yeah, that seems okay to me.
Makes perfect sense to me. Next time, Logan, you should just tank the match rating and see what happens.
Just really sabotage it.
Damn, Logan.
Nah, Ben would have gone 8 stars if I had done that, so.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not Meltzer. No, I wouldn't.
Well, the science has been determined. Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk belongs on the wrestling pedestal. So we have done that here this evening. But before we wrap up, let's quickly go around the horn for some plugs. Ben, what do you got?
You can catch me once a month on Wrestling's Chicken Salad and Special Relations here on the PTB wrestling feed and on the pop feed. We also do Popcorn Chicken Salad, and I'm on other things over there, like Laughing Theatre I'm sometimes on, and Telly and T when me and Miranda can be arsed.
Very good.
Very good. Logan, what do you have, sir?
I have pretty much everything Ben just said. I have, you're good. Cronoso, I do the ECW show of that, from Squared Circle to Silver Screen. I do that with Roger over on the No So feed. But pretty much everything Ben said in those couple things. So that's all I got right now.
All right, Tim, take us home.
All right. Yeah. Check out on Place to Be Nation Wrestling, Talking WCW, a podcast I do with Jennifer Smith and Greg Phillips, and PTB NXT. That's with, again, Jennifer Smith and Jacob Williams. And if you're not subscribed to this podcast network, please subscribe today. There's so many great shows you can find here if you're a professional wrestling fan. So hit that subscribe button and get in on the action on Place to Be Nation Wrestling. You can find me on Twitter. I am at Cyke68, C-Y-K-E-68 on the Twitter. And check out all the quad of pods here on associated with Place to Be Nation. We've got, again, Place to Be Nation Wrestling, which you're hearing now. Got Place to Be Nation Pop. And we have our sister networks, the Jenny Position, curated by the wonderful Jennifer Smith. We have the North-South Connection as well, with a lot of great wrestling-related content. Very sort of stat-oriented wrestling analysis. So if you like this show, if you like our grades and that kind of thing, check out, as we call it, NOSO, where they do a lot of that stuff with the great shows over there.
Yes, definitely listen to everything on the Quad of Pods. There is a ton of talented people inside of this family, and it is an honor and a privilege to do shows with all of them. As for me, I believe the only shows we haven't mentioned that I'm on are the Extreme Three-Way Dance over on the aforementioned NOSO feed. Definitely check that out. That show is a blast to do. And I will also throw a plug towards YouTube Roulette, which can be found right here on the wrestling feed, where we live watch some YouTube poop. Usually it's YouTube poop, but it's
not poop knife.
No. It's a very
fun... a poop knife to flush some of it, though.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So a very fun show to do. And you can find me as well over on the Pop feed on the show that I host, Piece of the Action, which is an action movie live watch podcast, which all three of you gentlemen have had the pleasure of being on multiple times, in fact. So as yes. always, thank you for that. So that will conclude this episode of PTBN Pedestal. My thanks to Tim Cable, Logan Crosland, and Ben Locke for joining me here this evening. And we will see you for episode 4 next time. You're the